So today's going to be a two-way service, right? Two-way service, right? There's going to be laying on of hands later today, right? And there's going to be teaching. But we're coincidentally, not like I worked it out, peradventure I didn't, but coincidentally, we're doing the same series with the UK church concerning spirituals. And I started a very interesting part. So last Sunday in church in the UK, we had we gave the Spirit a free flow. And we had ourselves minister to ourselves as a church and as individuals. And I started this series. I just kick-started on a path. But today, I'm happy to start up somewhere. Okay, so go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 or chapter 2. Are you there? Second Timothy chapter 2, right? What is 2 Timothy again? After Revelations. So I think 2 Timothy chapter 2. But before you land there, go to 2nd. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first, okay? So go to 1 Corinthians first. Then 2 Timothy. We're really in 2 Timothy where? 2, right? But look at 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there? Now, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So stop there. Now concerning spiritual gifts. If you have a good Bible, you should see the word gift in what? In italics, right? So you've been taught over the years that when you see a word like that, usually more often than not, it's not in the original, right? So how do you read that? Now what? Concerning spirituals, right? And now the word spirituals got it from two Greek words, right? One is pneuma and one is tikos, pneumatikos. I'll spell that for you. P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, right? Tikos, T-I-K-O-S. So pneumatikos. So now concerning pneumatikos. So pneuma is got it from that word, is that word that means the spirit. Right, and tikos, a way to look at it is to say things of, or things pertaining, or things concerning. So how do you read pneumatikos? Things pertaining the spirit, or things of the spirit. So what is Paul saying now concerning the what? The things of the spirit, right? Now concerning the what? The things of the spirit. So you are in 1 Corinthians, go to Ephesians. Why do you have so many fingers? Why do you have so many fingers? So that you can open different what? Portions of the Bible. So look at Ephesians 1 quickly, verse 13. In whom also ye trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now what is salvation about? Look at the next statement. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the what? Holy Spirit of promise. So what is salvation about? Salvation is about being sealed with the what? Holy Spirit of promise. I'll say that again. Salvation is about being sealed with the what? Holy Spirit of promise. So look at Ephesians again. So he says, in whom after you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that which is the earnest, look at verse 14, of our inheritance until the what? Redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory, of his glory. So what is salvation? Salvation is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me say that differently. Salvation is to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. Why did I switch from Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit? It's left to me, really. Spirit and ghost are the same. You know, some people believe that spirit is whatever they believe, and ghost is the one that used to cross road without checking. Right? So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the ghost spirit are just different words used at different dispensations in time. Are we together? So the word spirit is the old word ghost. Right, so what does it mean to be saved? That is, you have salvation. It is that you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Right, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. So it means that salvation is a spirit conversation. Did you get that? Salvation is a spirit conversation. Salvation is a spirit conversation. So when you think salvation, you think spirit. Are we together? When you think salvation, you think spirit. Now, when you think salvation, you think spirit. Now, Hebrews makes you see that we've been washed by his blood, that is through his eternal spirit. Now, when you actually think spirit, you think what? Blood. Are we together? Now, what washed away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, the blood of Jesus washed away your sins. But happy are you when you actually understand that the blood that washed away your sins is actually not the blood that spilled out of the body of Jesus. Are we together? Right? So, what washes away the sin of man is not the blood that flows out from the skin of Jesus, but the spirit he gives upon the resurrection. Are we together? So, Numbers will let you see that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So, when you think blood, you think what? Life. When you think life, you think blood. When you think blood, you think spirit. Don't lose me, yes? Okay? So, what does it mean to be born again? We started somewhere. What does it mean to be born again? To be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? To be washed by the blood. What does it mean to be washed by his blood? To be given his life. So, the life of Jesus is the blood of Jesus that is the Spirit of God that dwells in man. I'll say that one more time. The life that Jesus gave upon the resurrection is the what? The blood of Jesus. The life of Jesus is the blood of Jesus, which is the Spirit of God you've received as a seal upon salvation. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. The life of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. So, let me allow you to get that. The life of Jesus is the blood of Jesus, that is the Spirit of God that is given upon the resurrection or given upon salvation. So, when you say a man is saved, how else can you say that? He's a man that has been washed with blood. So, it means we are in a blood conversation as saints. Are we together? It means we are in a blood conversation. So, it means that salvation is a bloody game. Are we here? Salvation is a bloody game. So, salvation cannot be done without the blood, right? What is really the blood? The spirit. Are we together? Right? So, someone said we should go to 2 Timothy, right? So, go to 2 Timothy 3. Don't forget, salvation is about the seal of the spirit, that is the blood of Jesus, given upon the resurrection. So, when you say a man is saved, you say he's a man that is saved is a man that is washed. Washed by what? Washed by the blood of Jesus. Now, hold on, let me say this carefully. The blood of Jesus was not offered to God. We've taught that over time, right? God did not need the blood of Jesus. So, we grew up understanding, right, that Jesus poured his blood in a basin. Are we together? And after the resurrection, he took the blood to God the Father and said, "Dear Lord Jesus," or no, Jesus telling Jesus anyways, "Dear Lord God," right, "this is my blood," right? And God now says, "Put the blood there." So, anytime man offends God, Jesus will say, "God, walk in love. Can't you see that blood?" Then that blood will now pacify him and he will now calm down, he will now reduce. One day he will now wake up and say, "The person he forgave yesterday is doing worse than what he did yesterday." And God will now be saying to himself, if I had taken this one since yesterday, he will not do this one today now. Right? Then Jesus will now say, "Forgive them on account of my blood." Now, for God to have needed the blood of Jesus, it will mean that God is God is an impossible being, in fact. Are we together? It will mean that there is no difference between God and that, you know, the God called Amadioa, the Greek God called Amadioa, right? That's the Greek God called, so if you look at the Greek methodology, you will get it, right? So that God, yeah, or there's actually this Indian one called Shango, right? So Shango is the Indian word for Amadioa, all of them, same powerless power, right? Anyways, but in the real sense, it means that God and those gods are the same. Because they need blood. So if you reach out to a preacher of Shango and he wants to forgive you or wants you to do something for you, what do they say? Go and bring the blood of a 10-day-old mosquito. Yeah? And that is where you start finding what does not exist. Are we together? They will say, go and get the blood from the leg of a 3-month-old 20-day kid. That's a goat, a small goat. Right, I see people start looking for those kind of things. But the Shango needs, who really needs the goat? So look at it. They say bring blood, you bring goat. You didn't get it. Ideally, you should take the blood from where they are selling it and bring the blood. They say you should bring blood, you bring goat. So when you bring goat, you realize you don't go back with the goat, but you've dropped the blood. So who eats the goat? Yeah, the man that asks for the blood. So what is another way of asking for goats? Ask for blood. What's another way of asking for goat meat? Ask for blood. I was together. So you ask for blood, they bring the goat. And they say, don't worry, my son, go. I was together. And you come back, the goat is dead. Not because, you see, if there's a way they could kill the goat, right? And anyways, so in the real sense, if you put God and those gods in the same page, if there are certain things you say about our God that will put God and those gods in the same page. Right? What am I saying? God is a very special God. God is a very unique God, such that God doesn't request for blood. God gives his blood. So Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, submitting his blood to man. How else can you say God gave blood? How else can you say God gave blood? He gave his spirit. How else can you say he gave his spirit? He gave his life. So what is the giving of his life? It's the giving of his blood that is the giving of the spirit. Did you get that? So Jesus did not. So who did Jesus sacrifice his blood to? Your conscience, your heart. Right? You've been taught that, right? So the blood of Jesus was sacrificed to your conscience, right? Such that when you think of the blood, you think of how much a God can love you, right? So when you think blood, you think spirit. When you think spirit, you think what? Life. When you think life, you think what? Blood. And when you think blood, you think what? Salvation. Paul, we say Ephesians 1. The seal of the Holy Ghost, which is a conversation around what? Salvation. Now, look at 2 Timothy 3, quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you there? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Now look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. Are you in your Bibles? And from a child thou hast what? Known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto. So how else can you say unto salvation? Unto the spirit? Unto life and unto blood. So what is holy scriptures? You see, holy scriptures there doesn't mean the Bible is without sin. It doesn't mean the Bible doesn't lie. Are we together? Right? But the word holy doesn't mean you don't lie, you don't sin. No. The word holy is a word that means to be set aside, to be distinct unto a particular cause, to be particularly set, separated unto a particular cause. So to say, so when we say Holy Spirit, what you should not see is a spirit that does not lie. Did you get that? Right? Did I just say Holy Spirit lies? I didn't say that. I just said the Holy Spirit conversation is to say this is a spirit distinct with a particular purpose. Are we together? So when the Bible says that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, what would Scriptures be? Are you hungry? Everything okay at home? Right? Holy Scriptures would be what? Genesis to Malachi, right? So thou art known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Is that since when Timothy was born? From a child will be what? So and from a child will be from when you set out as a saint. Thou art known the Holy Scriptures, they are able to make thee wise concerning what? Salvation. What is salvation? Conversations around blood. Conversations around life. Conversation around what? The spirit. Are we together? Right? So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where are you now? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning what? Okay, what is spiritual again? Pneumaticos. What is pneumaticos? Things pertaining or things of the spirit. So how else can you say spirituals? Can you say now concerning the blood? Or can you say now concerning the things of the blood? Are you here? Can you say now concerning the things of his life? Why are we replacing it? Because we said you can replace the spirit with what? The blood. With what? The life. Which what? Salvation. So can we say things pertaining to salvation as well? Right? Because salvation is about what? The giving of the spirit. Right? So look at verse 12. It says now concerning. The word concerning is a word that is in the Greek called peri. Right? And it's a word that means pertaining, really. Right? In regards to pertaining. So now concerning spirituals. Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. So who is he speaking to? The Corinthian church. What did he call them in 1 Corinthians 12? Brethren. Brethren. Right? Right? So is Paul talking to the male species within the Corinthian church? I thought brethren is similar to the word brother. Oh, okay, it's not. It's Adelphos. Interesting. Right? The word is sister. Adelphina. Anyways, so brethren is gotten from the Greek word Adelphos. What is Adelphos? Of the same womb, pertaining the same womb, or from the same. So what womb have we come out from? The womb of the spirit, the womb of the blood. So the blood has a womb. Yeah? Right? The womb of the blood, the womb of the life, the womb of the spirit. What is that? The womb of salvation. What is that? The womb of resurrection. You see, I'm really saying the same thing. Did you get that? Right? So when the Bible says that now concerning spirituals, brethren, Paul is talking to, look at Hebrews 2. You look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Are you there, Avigano? You're home. Right? So look at Hebrews 2, verse, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto what? Unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Sufferings. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are what? Sanctified are all of one. So who is he that sanctified? Christ Jesus. Who are those that are sanctified? Brethren, that is you and I. Are we together? So he says, we are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. So what is the first name, or what is the primary name Jesus associates with us? Brethren. What is brethren? Of the same womb. What is the womb? The womb of the what? Of the spirit. The womb. So it means right from time, the spirit has always had a womb, being pregnant to give birth to people. Are we together? Right from time, the spirit has always had a womb, right, and has always been pregnant to give birth. So the fulfillment of the prophecies regarding the pregnancy of the spirit will be seen by the what? Resurrection. So when Jesus died, did you die? Look at Romans 6. You know you're really in 1 Corinthians, right? Don't miss that. Romans 6. I knew Romans 6. Are you there? Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what? Raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived, he lived unto God. Now look at verse 11 carefully. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead in what? Indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. What was he really teaching here? Paul is teaching identification of the saints with Christ Jesus. What he's saying is that when Christ died, we died with him. Are we together? Now he is alive, we are alive unto God. Now, when Christ died, were you alive? When Christ died, were you alive? Spiritually or physically, were you alive? You people have come back without this your answer again. Because I think were you alive? Why are you thinking? When Christ died, we were not alive. To say you are alive spiritually will mean that God creates spirits right in one planet. Then as people are doing what man and woman should do, he throws them in. Are we together? If that's the case, you know that in the real sense, fornication should not lead to children. We get it right? And so you need to correct that notion that God... When the Bible says before... So Romans 6 says that we are in identification. So we only die to the degree in which you are in association with his death and his resurrection. So Jesus resurrected, and in doing that, he's bringing many sons into glory. And the sons he's bringing into glory, he calls them what? Brethren. Altogether. What is the uniformity between you and I? What is similar between you and I? You see, our jobs will not be the same, really. Our salary will not be the same, really. The kind of car we drive will not be the same, really. Where we live will not be the same, really. But what we have that is the same will be the Spirit. Are we together? So there is something called the Spirit of God that is uniform across all man or woman, men and women who are called saved. As long as you are saved, you are what? You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now Paul now says, now concerning the things of that Spirit, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. Do you know you can be full of the Spirit and be ignorant? Is it possible? You can be full of the Holy Ghost and be ignorant. Are we together? You see, what is the goal of the Spirit in you? To serve as a seal. Ephesians 1. Right? What is the seal regarding? To always remind you that your sins are forgiven. So it means that for your sins not to be forgiven again, it means the Spirit of God will need to leave you. And we need to stop being a seal in you. Are we together? But you know that a believer that has the Spirit of God as well can actually be praying for forgiveness. Are we here? I hope you know that most of you were there. Okay, you said most of us. I hope you know we're once there, right? We've gone on 3 days' journey asking God for mercy before. Are we together? We've had those journeys, right? Where we just go on and we just say, Lord, mercy. In fact, we've sung Psalm. Are we safe? Let me know the closest door to me. You know, when you are flying, they say you should note your closest exit. Aha. Is this frequent? Does it happen frequently? Because it looks like you all are calm and I'm the only one that is tense. If it happens usually frequently, I will just fit in. That's okay. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was I saying? Yeah, so we've sang some songs that, Lord, mercy, mercy, oh Lord, have mercy on us, mercy, mercy. You know, I've seen people crying for God to have mercy on them. But you see, the point is, you are just being very ignorant on that path. Are we? Excuse me. Thank you. You are just really being ignorant on that part. Because mercy is not something you cry for God to hear your voice. Mercy is something God gives on account of his love. Are we together? Right? So you know that in the real sense, there are lots of things you all might want to go listen to a few things I said about the prayer, over the series last month on prayer. Right? There are some things we try to rub God into when it comes to prayer as a conversation, for instance. And we think we need to pray for everything. Dear saints, let me say this very importantly to you, right? You can actually do so many things on this earth without involving prayer. However, every and any face you find yourself, you should be praying. Did you get it? Don't miss that. There are lots of things you can do on this earth without involving what? Prayer. Altogether. If you are pressed, for instance, and want to ease yourself, you don't have to pray about it. Altogether, you don't really have to. Right? But there are some things. You need. There's a reason why we pray, and there's a reason why we pray in the Spirit. Right? Now, the point is this. Right? There are so many things that, in the real sense, we don't need to waste our energy doing. And what I've come to understand is people waste their energy doing that because they are what? Ignorant. What does it mean to be ignorant? To a very large extent, means to ignore knowledge. Or let me say it differently, to be in the dark regarding the conversation. Altogether. You know that there's nobody that is here. You know that everybody here has a field that they're ignorant regarding. You know. If I ask you to come and fly a plane now, you will not move it. Even with your faith. Right? If I ask some of you some, what is chemical formula for, yeah? You might not know it. And some of you, if I ask, what is the grammatical lexicon and the structural arrangement of the, that's why I start hearing them say, you know, the this and the that and the this and the this. Yeah, that's fine. But give them, what is integral? Mm-hmm. Integral 2y dx exponential 3. But with all of that fact, there's a certain fact that every believer shouldn't be ignorant about. What is that fact about? The things of the Spirit. So a man who is born again is a man who has been washed, his sins are forgiven, he's been given the life of God. So what did Jesus do upon the resurrection? Jesus died, was killed by men, then handed over his life to man. So every man that killed Jesus, in the real sense, if they believe the gospel, they receive the life of Jesus after the resurrection. But there is much more than just having life. There is much more about that. There's so much more about the things about that life. So that's what Paul is teaching. So Paul in Romans will tell you that, likewise you reckon yourselves to be dead on sins, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. So how else can you say you are born again? Are we here? How else can you say you are born again? You are alive unto God. You have the Spirit of God. You've been washed by the blood. What again? You receive the life of God. So it means that there is something mighty that happened to you when you believe the gospel. However, you can stay ignorant of that thing for the rest of your life on earth. So why are we doing a series like this? We're trying to examine the foundational concepts and conversations regarding the things of the Spirit. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't even believe in tongues. Are we here? A lot of Christians believe that tongues is past. You have some doctrine that says that the tongues, for instance, ended with the apostles. Right? Now, there are even some that, yes, they believe in tongues, but they don't even believe in interpretation of tongues. Altogether. In fact, some people don't believe in healing. I hope you know that. Some people don't believe in healing. Right? But they believe in the Spirit. So Paul is saying, why stay in the dark regarding that Spirit you have? Right? So look at 1 Corinthians again. Now concerning the things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. He says, so let me ask you a question. What is the solution to ignorance? Okay, knowledge, fair. But what is the solution to this particular ignorance? Yep. excuse me. Okay, on a fundamental level, what is the solution to ignorance? Knowledge. What kind of ignorance are they dealing with? Spiritual. It's not spiritual ignorance I'm talking about. Okay, let's say spiritual ignorance. But what type of spiritual ignorance? Willfully staying in the dark. That is neglecting knowledge. So what would be the solution to this ignorance? That is being deliberate in embracing knowledge. Not just knowledge as a fact knowledge. You know, you can stay with someone very knowledgeable about the subject matter and is teaching you about the subject matter every day, every time, and you just don't get it. You don't just embrace it. You just feel like he's talking to the breeze. Are we together? This particular knowledge will actually be understood and will reflect in their conduct and actions when they deliberately embrace the knowledge. So Paul will say, I will not have you to be ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of what? Gifts. But the what? Same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, so, same Spirit, is that what everybody has? Is that what everybody has? Careful. Every believer. You know, 2 weeks ago, I went out on evangelism in the UK, you know, and I met this Indian. Spent almost an hour with him. You know, I was telling the conversations regarding the Spirit of God, where is God, and all of those things. And you say, God is everywhere. Okay, that's fine. Beautiful knowledge. Where is God? So I said, if I tell you that, so that's after I knew he had gotten saved and all this. If I tell you that the Spirit of God lives in you, what will you say? He said, oh yes, everybody, the Spirit of God lives in everybody. I said, yeah. I say, if I tell you particularly that because of what we've, based on account of what we've spoken about right now, what you've believed, Spirit of God lives in you, what will you say? Say, Spirit of God lives in everybody. But the goal of that conversation was to make him see that when we say God is everywhere, you need to be careful what you mean by everywhere. Are we together? Are we together? When we say God is everywhere, you need to be careful what you mean by everywhere. There's a lot to say on that conversation. You know, but in the real sense, so we now started having... we had a very interesting practical session of knowing about the Spirit of God. You know, I started going into some details about him. He was the one that eventually now said, okay, the Spirit of God is in you. He's in you. Because I'd given him some very private details that nobody knew about. You know, I've spoken about his profession, spoken about some strange things. So apparently he was at a phase where he was writing, about to write an exam regarding heart, or being a final exam about cardiology. And I was like, what are you doing with surgery around heart? And so we just went on that part and everything. And we were on that conversation able to make him see that the Spirit of God is not just everywhere, he's in the believer. So your understanding of the Spirit of God everywhere should first be founded on the fact that he is in a man who is a believer. Are we together? The disparity between all of these things will be taught over the next few years. But take it easy. Are we here? Take it easy. Take it easy. You are not serving the same God with somebody that is not a believer. Are we here? And some of us, when they put you on the spot on evangelism ground, we are all serving the same God. Because like, you don't know what to say. They've locked you, they've tied you, you don't know how to escape. How would you say we are all serving the same God? Our Lord, our God is one. Behold, O Israel. Our Lord, our God is one. Our Lord, our God, we serve one God. We serve God. Right? But in the real sense, the conversation around the indwelling of the Spirit is only limited to a man who believes the resurrection. Now, when it says there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, you need to understand that that same Spirit is actually unique to every believer. Look at Genesis 2:15. Or for time, look at Genesis 2 verse 18. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that what? Man should what? Be alone. I will make him what? A helpmeet. Are you there? Genesis 2:18. I will make him a helpmeet. Are you there? For him. So let me ask you a question. The man that shouldn't be alone, Is that man as per me? Okay, can you hear me? So it's not good that man should be alone, right? So what Moses is teaching about here is the fact that a man should not be single. Are we together? Right? A man should not be single. So if you are single, behold where to read. Hey, glory to the Lamb. Anyways, it is not good for a man to be alone. The man here is mankind. Right? And God says, I promise to give man help. Right? Unfortunately, a lot of us have taught that scripture to mean a woman for a what? A man. Have you found your helpmate? Is it mate or meat or meat or whatever? Right? Meat. Helpmate. Right? Anyways. You know, if you're not careful, there are certain things you will say that will have very gross implications. Supposedly, that this helpmate is gender related, it will mean that God doesn't even care for the single state of a lady. So, I don't have any business with the lady being single. It's about man. Man, don't be alone. And you know, you can now start. You know, I had a doctrine from this scripture that what God promised man as a helpmate is not limited to a gender. Are you here? Have you gone home? You get the point? So, you're saying as a man, your helpmate can be a both gender. Yeah? And they taught it from Genesis 2. Are we together? How they jumped, anyways, helpmate there, summarily, we've taught that over time. Helpmate there is about the Izar, which is the Spirit of God. Are we together? So it's not good for man to be alone. He's not saying the masculine or male gender should not be alone. He's saying that mankind shouldn't be without help. Are we together? So he says, I will give man. So who is the helpmate for man? The Spirit. So look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what ye have, for he has said, I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is what? My Izar, my helper, my helpmate. So a believer is one that has received God as his helper. So it means that the believer is not without help. How did the believer receive help from God? By receiving the Spirit, that is the blood, that is the life, that is salvation. Then Paul is now telling in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are things of that Spirit. So how else can you say things of the Spirit? Things of the helper. Did you get that? Because who is the helper? The Spirit. So the Spirit is the helper that man receives by believing the message of the gospel, which is what? He has received salvation. Look at Psalm 124, quickly. So the believer doesn't look up to the hills to look for help. The believer looks where? Within. So in looking within for help, you need to know about the things of that helper in you. So it means that when we administer the gifts of the Spirit, what are we trying to administer? Help. Did you get that? When we administer the things of the Spirit, we are administering help to ourselves. We are supplying help. So God is the helper that lives in me and wants to supply help for my lives to you. Such that you are now one that will be seen as a man who is helped of God. Now, you are fundamentally first helped in the fact that you receive the Spirit of God. But there's such a thing called supplying help in very intense situations, in very complex situations. So Psalm 124 will tell you, verse 8, he says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. So our help, is in the name of the Lord, that is, on account of the reputation of his work. What does that mean? On account of the giving of the Spirit, we are not without help. So Hebrews 13 will tell you, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what ye have, for he had said, never will I leave you, nor what? Forsake you. Lift your hand and say, I'm helped of God. Say, I'm full of help. Say, I'm never without help. Say, I'm full of help. Hallelujah. So, when another believer ministers to you, it is not because you are helpless. Are we together? When another believer ministers to you, it's not because you are helpless. But it is on account of the fact that because we are brethren, we can supply help to ourselves. Did you get that? Remember, what makes you my brother is the Spirit of God. What makes you my brother is the Spirit of God. What makes you my brother is the blood of God in you, blood of Jesus in you. What is that? The life of God in you. What is that? The salvation, you know, the gift of resurrection you received by believing the message of the gospel. Yeah, so on account of that, we can say that I can supply help to you. So, you would have all been in believers' meetings here, right? You see what we do in believers' meetings. What do? We try to bring help or clarity, right, to you that is already full of help. Are we together? And that's why sometimes in believers' meetings, people say things and somebody else says the same thing that person said. In fact, a lot of times, somebody says to you what you already know. Are we together? That is to make you see that God never leaves the believer helpless. And so it is God's wisdom. Now, there are certain things that are God's plan and wisdom on the earth. For instance, gathering of saints. Are we here? The gathering of saints. You see, Jesus did not die e-blood or be e-death. Is that not true? Right? I call myself with the e-blood of Jesus. You don't say that. Let's assume that's where your knowledge is. Are we together? He didn't resurrect electronically. Do you get that? The reason why there's a gathering is because there's God's wisdom and God's pattern, God's method on the earth. You know, I've taught you over time that man remains God's wisdom on the earth. Let me tell you something. Your Christian faith is attached to another man. I hope you know. Okay, you didn't like that one. Other people's Christian faith are attached to you. Are we gonna? You know, that's why it's called body of Christ. See, all those nonsense we say, if it was only me that was on earth, God loves me so much, he would have died for me. You can't be the only one on earth. And thankfully, you are not the only one. Because I don't imagine how you'd be thinking. If I'm the only one. And that now leads to all the very pathetic, emotional blackmail. We try to blackmail God. Your baby is singing. Where is that one coming from? Where are we going to? Where are you ascending to? Some of you that the Holy Spirit calls you darling. Have you not realized it? I was in a meeting yesterday with some pastors and asked a question. Why do we have more ladies in church? Should I give you the answer? It's not far-fetched. In fact, they were trying to wrap their head around the answer. I say, me, I know the answer. Ladies are emotional people. Let me say it better. Men too are emotional. Ladies are more emotional than men. So to a very large extent, usually, ladies always try to find someone to fill up a vacuum. I'm not doing marriage seminar now. But get the point. Surprisingly, I've never seen a guy telling me God calls me darling. Why? Have you seen one? I've not seen a guy. Yeah, I've really not seen a guy saying, you know, God calls me darling. How come it's you? You see, if you lack boo, get a boo. If you lack babe, get a babe. There's so much that it's called Holy Spirit for a reason. It's distinct. Don't beat yourself into the extreme of emotional love. Are we together? Your emotions will be involved when you get to remember what God has done, what Christ has done. You know, but not to the extreme of, darling. I had a friend who said Holy Spirit called her baby girl. Today she's not serving God again. She's not in church again. I can tell you her name, her son name. No, I can tell you her name, her son name. She fought me. Every night she doesn't pray. She doesn't do. Anytime she doesn't, she misses her prayer. Holy Spirit says, "Baby girl, have you prayed today?" Right. This was about 2019, 2020. Today she's not in church again. She's atheist now. In her mind. Is it not in her mind now? She's still saved. Abby. So there's some voids that another man will fill. The void of the Holy Spirit is distinct to him. Only him can feel it. Right? Your boyfriend can say, baby girl, have you prayed today? Yes. If you are not happy with that, you know that device called Alexa. You can name Alexa and tell Alexa your name. Alexa will be telling you, baby girl, it's time to pray. If that's what you are looking for. Right? And I was teaching something about that in church in the UK. I didn't go into detail in that, but somebody was asking me, what is it about chanting? You know, chanting is a sound of the spirit. Chanting. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. Wait. Someone now say, it's why am I teaching this now? You see, don't overflow concerning spiritual. Stop where Paul stopped. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. All of you say, ay-ay-ay. Lift your hands, you're crying. Ay-ay-ay-ay. But you know why you're crying? It's that thing called crash. You know the cymbal? Yeah? If you have a good drummer, there's a way they... You know, instruments can make you cry. You see, the people that designed keyboard, they knew what they were doing when they put strings there. Now, I know I've always told you about the story of the man that said I should play the sound from heaven. Remember that teaching, right? There's an automatic sound in the court of heaven. You need to tune in. When it's not radio, you need to tune in and play it down. So those are the things that make people, people just overflog these things, right? On what account will you say chanting is a doctrine? All together. Okay, let me ask you a question. When I speak in tongues, do you repeat after me? Right? When I sing in tongues, do you repeat after me? What will you repeat if you will repeat at all? The interpretation. All together. So why am I chanting in tongues, in quotes, and you can hear and you can pick it? And you repeat word by word. All together. Somebody here, you're looking at me. You might be here, you might be here, but you're just here. Right? I remember a couple years, this was a long time ago, I'm sure you have grown, definitely. You know, but I know someone asked me a question, said, but Pastor, he puts me in the realm. I said, that's where they caught you. Is that realm you say you want to go to, that they are working on? You know, so when someone comes to tell you that there's a dimension, a realm, a portal, a canal, you always feel insufficient. So why somebody who say I've been fasting for 70 days and 70 nights, I come and say I say it's sound of the spirit. He says it's the heavenly court language. No. Look at. We've not learned tongues. We've not learned interpretation. We are learning chant. We've not learned how to heal the sick. We've not learned how to give experience to the Holy Ghost. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We are learning chant. That is not spoken about at all. Are we together? Probably in this series, we're able to address what it means by making melody in your heart unto God and all those kind of things. That is not to chant. Did you get that? So, anyways, I said all of that to this. Your life, your Christian faith is attached to another man's. You see, there are men who, in their doggedness, I find safety to be dogged. There are men as well, you will find safety to be dogged when you see them dogged. And there are men who would establish doggedness when they see you dogged. So the point remains that what should be your attitude as a believer to the things of God, to the things of the Spirit? So Paul will say, now concerning spiritual, I will not have you to be ignorant. So to be ignorant there will mean to stay in the dark regarding the spirit you've received. Are we together? Now, this is very important to know. This is going to lead me to where I'm going to in my next session, right? So whilst we all have the same spirit, there's something called what? Gifts of the Spirit. And there's something called ministry gifts of the Spirit. Are we together? Altogether. You see, whilst we all have the same spirit, the body of Christ is not designed in a way that everybody is going to do the same thing at the same time. Look at Ephesians quickly, Ephesians 4. Are you here? Look at Ephesians 4. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fear all things. Now look at verse 11 carefully. So Ephesians 4:11 will help you when you are explaining 1 Corinthians 12. Are we together? You see the word some? Are we together? Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Are we together? Now, in the original Greek, there is only one word, some, in that verse. It's the word M-E-N in the Greek. And it's that, just that first word. And it's a word that means indeed, certainly, or truly. Did you get that? So he gave indeed, or he gave certainly, or he gave truly apostles. Right? What you shouldn't see that as is that God looks at men and sees that, oh, you have a big lips, I'll give you, I'll make you an evangelist. Oh, you have long hands, I'll make you, you have this, I'll make you, no. No, you have long legs, you will do evangelical work. No. Right? God is not saying, God doesn't say, oh, because your eyes are big, you see in the spirit, so you're a prophet. No. Right? So when he says some are given, it is that part of that spirit are special offices that people operate in, which is what, number one, you call the apostleship, you call the prophet, you call the evangelist, pastor, and teachers. Are we together? Now, there is a goal for everything. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. So the function of the end goal of all the offices is the same. Are you here? The end goal of all the offices is the same. What is the end goal? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the what? The work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we'll come into the unity of faith. I've taught you over time that the unity of faith there doesn't mean that you are going to come and join hands with other churches around you and be playing table tennis. Right? Is there anything wrong in that? Nothing is wrong. It's not in our sport. Are we together? Right? The unity of faith there really is the unity that deals with saying the same thing regarding the doctrine of the same spirit. Are we together? Till we all come to unity of faith that is of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature, of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, it's but speaking the truth in love. You know, and people have used this thing to bamboozle a lot of us over the years, that speaking in truth in love means to be calm when you are saying the truth. That's not what it's dealing with. Right? What he's saying is, out of your love for the truth, speak the truth. Right? Speak that truth found in love. Yeah, so speak that, speak the truth for what it is because of your love. That's what he's teaching there particularly. Right? So he's saying that the end goal is that men are built. Men are solidified. Are we together? So, in the real sense, was Peter born again after the resurrection? Was Philip born again after the resurrection? Who was the man that we saw in scriptures that started preaching in Acts 2:13 that ended up winning 3,000 souls? Peter. Was Peter with the same spirit with Philip, Andrew, Simon, and others? Yes. But were they operating in the same office? They were not, right? They were not, right? So it means that Peter was given an office within the spirit. Are we together? So what does it mean to be given an office within the spirit? It is to be given responsibility amongst other saints. Did you get that? So that's why Peter will say, Jesus will say to Peter, I've prayed for you that in the day when they are restored, make sure you restore your brethren. Right? He now tells him in John, he says that feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Right? He gave that instruction to Peter. In other people seeing Peter's fulfillment of that responsibility, they see how to fulfill the responsibility. However, at that given time, Peter was the man that had the highest responsibility amongst the saints that had the same spirit. Are we together? Bible tell you in Acts 2:13 that Peter standing up, lifting up his voice, right, and he started speaking, started teaching. He said standing up with 11. In the real sense, they couldn't have been echoing the same thing. Peter was the one teaching. Are we together? Let me show you a quick example. Look at Numbers. Look at Deuteronomy quickly. Look at Genesis 48 quickly. Quest. Then we'll go to Numbers. Now, don't forget, man remains God's method on the earth. So even if, look at it this way, even if all men that are believers in a local church have the same spirit, there's such a thing called a man amongst the men that has more responsibility. Are we together? I hope you know there are certain things that your pastor will do you can't do. Right? Right? Now, this is not in administration. This is not in being able to give word of knowledge. You know, it's our goal as a church that everybody does all the manifestation of the Spirit equally. That's our goal. Right? But you all actually also know that there are some things that will need to be said to the church that you can't say. You know that, right? Right? And that's why when John will write in Revelations to the churches, he will write to the angel of the churches. Are we together? So, let's assume John wrote to the churches without mentioning the angel. When the letter gets to the church, who will pick it? The man that has the highest responsibility. Right? It's not because let all of us go and pick it together. Let's read it together. No, there is a man that will have responsibility over others. So John will say to the angel of the church in Sardis, to the angel of the church here, Laodicea, to the angel of the church, he's talking to the lead, that is leader. Now, mind you, that angel has the same spirit with every other member. Let me say it better. The angel has the same spirit with a member that comes late to church every Sunday. Same. But when it comes to on account of responsibility, it differs. Look at Genesis 48. Verse 16, carefully. If you look at 16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow into much than the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. Now, this is Joseph all the way in Genesis. He knew there was something about contact, and that is why he mentioned or made pointed the attention of his father to what was happening. Did you get that? Right? So, let me say this way. You know, we can't have a local church where we say, when next we are going to do laying on of hands, you will do it. Then when you finish, you pass the baton. Right? Then you say, oh, will I give? You see the brother behind you, you say, next time I'm going to... You know we don't do that. Right? Why? You see, this is God's method on the earth, God's method in the local church, because God is a God of order. God is a God of order and orderliness, right? And that is why no matter how much you say we are brethren with Christ, you know you are not equal to Christ. You know, people teach some very ridiculous extreme doctrines. I am Christ. I am Christ. I am Christ. So if I heard a man say, I am God. And where did they go to? First John. He made us... How was the scripture again? Huh? Yeah, oh no, yeah, God. That's even yeah, God. Yeah, God. You not see the letter they use for you, small letter. And so, but the truth remains that God's method on the earth remains men amongst men. Let me tell you something for free. You know that 20 people can get saved on the same day, and on account of the next 2-3 weeks, responsibility across them will differ. You know, happy are you in a very foolish state to think that you say, I reject that man because we got born again together. You know, when it comes to things of God, age is nothing but a number. Age in ministry might only give you an experience to witness more hurt by men. Amen? Yes, you will have the experience, right? And that is why we give ourselves to prayer. I was teaching that during the series of prayer. Why do we pray? Because men are men. You see, you have some disciples like this. You will pray upon their head. You will call their name all night. And maybe you even sleep for 2 hours. Only for you to wake up and see what they post on WhatsApp. Like you literally call the person's name. Right? You call the person's name throughout your praying tongues for 5 hours all through the night. And you just say, let me sleep so I can go to work. You sleep by 5. You wake up by 7. I say, let me just check my phone. And you look at their post. What do? You set another vigil. That's why we pray. You set another vigil. Let me tell you, your second vigil doesn't mean they will change. It doesn't. You look at yourself. You know yourself. You know what they said to you before you got to where you are. You know how people were patient with you before you got to where you are. So because we're going to deal with men, you know, we will need to give ourselves yet more to prayer. But you must never forget that man remains God's will on the earth. Look at Deuteronomy quickly. Then I close here. Deuteronomy, before you go to Deuteronomy, look at Numbers. Numbers 27. The local church is God's wisdom. Man is God's wisdom. Ministry gifts is God's wisdom. I was together. So there are such things that are called God's wisdom when it comes to being a believer. The local church is God's wisdom. Ministry gifts is God's wisdom. Ministry gifts, rather. And the gifts of spirit is God's wisdom. Local church, God's wisdom. Man is God's wisdom on the earth. All together, right? So if you look at Numbers 27, are you there? Verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hands upon him. Are we together? So that was an instruction to lay hands upon him. So it means that when hands are laid, something happens. If laying hands upon him was a ceremonial practice, is actually as useless as not doing it at all. Are you together? Look at 23. And Moses laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, the way Moses laid hands on Joshua, at that point, could Joshua lay hands on Moses that way? Don't forget. Can Joshua lay hands on Moses? Yes. Could Joshua lay hands on Moses that way? No. Let me say it better. Can you lay hands on me? Yes, sir. You can lay hands on me now. Right? Because things happen when hands are laid. Right? But there's a way I will lay hands on you, for instance, that you cannot lay hands on me that way. But we can all lay hands on ourselves. Right? So at this point, Moses was going to lay hands, right? But even if Joshua could lay hands, he couldn't do it with the authority and the charge and the commandment and the instruction that Moses will do it with. Now look at what happens to the life of Joshua in Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Are we together? Deuteronomy chapter 34, look at verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, and the top of what? Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all in the land of Gilead unto Dan. Now look at verse 9 carefully, if you are there. And Joshua, please read, let's read together verse 9, 1, 2, 3, go. And Joshua, the son of Nun. So, hold on. This Joshua, is it the same Joshua that was in Numbers 27? Why? It tells you who his father was. Nun. So look at verse 9 again. 1, 2, 3, go. Joshua, the son of Nun. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Deuteronomy 34, 9. 1, 2, 3, go. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened upon him, and did as the Lord. So there's something changed in the ministry of Joshua. Where will you point that activity to? The laying on of hands of what? Moses. Are we together? So in the Christian faith, happy are you when you know to be a Joshua and not to be a Moses? Are we together? Happy are you when you know to be a Joshua and know to be a what? A Moses. So can you be a Moses over the life of your disciples? Yes, you can. You can get a man saved, right? And he becomes your disciple, and you can lay hands on him and give him a charge, an instruction, right? In that place, you are being a Moses. But there's a place where you become a Joshua, right? Where you with open heart receive God's method, receive of God's wisdom. Right? For it is God's wisdom that men are communicating things when hands are laid actively. To a very large extent. I don't have time, but I've taken you all through how that happened in 1 Timothy, Corinthians, and all of those places. Right? But the laying on of hands is a ministry that was actively emphasized in the book of Acts and by the apostles. I was going to, Paul would tell Timothy, don't forget the hands that were laid on you. Right? Paul would still tell Timothy, don't forget I laid hands on you. Are we together, right? In bringing that remembrance to Timothy's mind, he's reassured, he's re-energized, he's reminded of the things that are meant to happen through him. So when hands are laid on you and words are spoken, what do? You pay attention to what is being said. Are we together? Pay attention to what is being said, right? So like I will teach over time, you stay praying in tongues before hands are laid on you, and you continue praying in tongues when hands are laid on you. You see, your response to when hands are laid on you is up to you. So hands can be laid on you, right? And in the real sense, you just stand and you just act and you just like, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, God. Yeah? And in the real sense, 10 years down the line, that hand that was laid on you would have just been a very basic hand. Are we together? That means you will be amongst those who will be in 1 Corinthians 12:1 that will be what? Willfully ignorant or willfully staying in the dark. Are we together? So there's a doctrine of laying of hands and there's a practice, right? So spiritual things are communicated by contacts. All together, right? You know you can get people healed by speaking a word. All together, right? But you know, our minds a lot of times get activated when we feel a touch. Do you know, I've realized over the past few years that people, when I want to pray for people to get healed, right, they always want me to touch. Or let me say better, they feel a sense of relaxation, or they feel a sense of comfort when they are being touched. Touched on your shoulder, touched on your forehead, touched on your head, and touched on your body, or where. Yeah, so man, in the real sense, can contact and communicate certain things by God's method of men. So lift your hand and say, this evening, I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. Say, I receive of God's intelligence. Say, I receive of God's intelligence. I receive of God's intelligence. Say, I receive of God's intelligence. Say, I receive of God's wisdom. Say, when hands are laid on me this evening, my ministry takes a new level, takes a new dimension, takes a new structure. I get clarity. I'm bolder. I'm impacted by God's power. Say, this evening, I receive of God's wisdom. I receive of God's wisdom. I receive of God's wisdom from man. Say, I'm a man who will be better from this evening. Say, I'm a man who will receive God's power this evening. Say, my life, my ministry would never remain the same. Say, my spirit is quickened by God's vessel, by God's power, and I receive what is communicated to me by God's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.